He talked about hope this morning, amen. But that's where we get our hope. It's by hearing the word of God. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I won't.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
I won't
Jesus.
Belabor Jesus. It. Pastor Grissom, amen. Come and deliver us what the Lord has allowed.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Y cuando dicen gloria a Dios, voy a predicar en español en esa mañana porque yo necesito la práctica. Porque voy a practicar, voy a predicar la próxima en Breckenridge en Spanish. I'm going to preach in Spanish in Breckenridge, so I need to practice in Spanish today. Is that all right? Is that okay, Sister Andrea? That'd be all right? Amen. Okay, well, I probably won't, but amen. Anyhow, I do want to say a big thank you to those that helped this week. This was a busy week. We did a lot of moving. And if the rapture had happened, it would have all been unnecessary.
It would have all been unnecessary.
But those that helped us move Sister Covey into her new apartment, thank you. Those that helped yesterday and days before yesterday to help move the Ward family, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And so thank you for all of your hard work. And we appreciate what you do. Amen. We had a great day yesterday at our friend's day and our block party. Amen. And so we had a good time. Thank you for supporting that, being here. Amen. I want to say a real special thank you to my sister, my niece, for being here this morning. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I don't want you to tell anybody else, but this is my favorite sister. She's my only sister, but she's my favorite sister. Amen. And she's a great lady, and I love her a lot. Thank you for being here. Amen. And tonight, we're going to have after service. We'll be serving some delicious food. And we're going to do a little fundraiser for the choir. And we want to put another projector at the back of the church for those that are always looking at the clock. No, that's not the reason, really. But... No, that's not why we're putting it back there. But we're putting it back there because the choir can actually see the words back there instead of looking down and trying to see them up here. And actually, Brother Hart, and I won't have to turn around to see if we got our clicker right. We can see it back there. So that'll be a good thing. Amen. I know this is not all necessary to make the rapture, but it does help. It's a blessing. Amen. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. Again, I apologize for what voice I have, but I'm thankful for what I have, and I'm just going to give you all I got. If my voice gives out, I'm through. Praise the Lord, but I'll give you what we got here today, because I do have something I want to share with you. Reading today from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9 through verse 11. When I was a kid growing up, almost all the comic books on the back page had a little comic of a man called Charles Atlas. Anybody remember Charles Atlas? Charles Atlas, it was a muscle man. Big muscles. And he always had this 92-pound weakling. He was at the beach with his girlfriend and a bully came and kicked sand in his face. And shamed him in front of his girlfriend. Well, he got a hold of Mr. Atlas's course. Man, he went to work building those muscles. In a little while, he goes back and he whoops up on the bully. Didn't work for me, but amen. But Charles Atlas, and the story was this. It said before and after. Before and after. And they do that, and I think there's even television shows today about before and after. They've got women, you know, before they did their makeover thing. Before and after. Then they've got houses. And they got before and after. Now, in all of these stories, the ideal is that the after is always better than the before. Amen. That's the ideal.
Right.
But the Bible presents this principle in these verses that there was a before for us and now there's an after. And I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but I can definitely speak for myself. And I can say that the after is better than the before. Now, if you don't like the after, you sure wouldn't have liked the before. Amen. I'm not perfect, but I'm a whole lot better than I was. Amen. So there has definitely been some improvement. I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I was. So there has been some very definite improvement. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Are you ready? That was before. But verse 11 said, and such were, let's say were, past tense, such were some of you. But now, hallelujah. He said, but now you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before and after. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. The church in Corinth was located in a very carnal situation. The city of Corinth was a very wicked city. It was a very sensual city. It was a city that was given totally to pursuing after the appetites of flesh. They had a temple there to a goddess, Aphrodite, that was given to, actually the worship included sexual sins. It was a religion that totally catered to the appetites of flesh. It was a very wicked situation. And there were people in that city that actually tried to teach Christians that it was not necessary to come out of that lifestyle. That you could continue to live in that lifestyle and still be saved. You know what? There's still people that teach that today. But the Bible does not. There are still people that teach today that you can be saved and then go right on with your sinning. But that's not what the Scripture teaches, is it? I think we read this correctly. Let's read it again and see if we got it right. He said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, be not deceived. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Be not deceived. And then he just goes right on and gets real bold and he just starts naming stuff. Is it still okay to do that today? Even if it's not politically correct? Is it okay to just go ahead and just put it out there? And he just names the stuff. He don't pull any punches. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators. Pornos. We get our word pornography from that word. Pornos means sexual sins, and in particular, male prostitutes. He said, you partake in that sin, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. In our English definition, it's a broadened definition. The word fornication refers to all forms of sexual sin. It's all inclusive. It gets everything that comes under that particular umbrella. I hope you don't get too uncomfortable here today, amen, with some of the plainness of what we're going to say. But it's time to get plain, folks. The world doesn't worry about getting plain. And we need to get a little more plain. And try not to be embarrassing and try not to be crass or crude in any way. But let's just get right down where the rubber meets the road. You know, our young people need to hear a different message. Our young people need to hear something different than what they're hearing out there. They need to hear what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. So let's just go ahead and make it plain today. Was that okay? Amen. So he just says, he said, that you will inherit the kingdom of God. So let me just make it as plain as I know how to make it today. That the act of sex was created for marriage between one man and one woman for life in the bonds of matrimony. Is that clear enough? And if you're outside those bonds, it's sin. According to Scripture. I know the world has their standard, but I'm talking about the Bible standard. And I hope that's okay. Amen. I want to go by the Bible today, folks. It's not important what they say. If you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what they say. It matters what this says. And as a Christian, my responsibility is to line up with the Word of God. Not what pleases and some philosophy that some enlightened scholar has come up with that it really doesn't mean that. Yes, it means that. I gave you the Greek word. I can take you to the computer and I can show you exactly what it means. If you don't want it in English, we'll get it in Greek. That's what it means. And that's what exactly how it says it. So that pretty well covers that, doesn't it? I don't see a lot of wiggle room there. And then he said, nor idolaters. An idolater is someone that worships an image. Originally, people did not worship idols. They worshiped God. But then they began to take images to help them to supposedly understand God. Although they worship God, they worship through an image. And in time, the image itself became the God. And so to worship any image, that's why the Lord said, thou shalt have no graven images. Because our propensity is to worship the object. And that's what happened. Israel did that with, of all things, a snake they made out of brass. You remember, they're going through the wilderness. Snakes start biting them. The Lord says, as a symbol, he says, you make a symbol of that snake, put it up on a stick, and when it bites you, you look up there and you'll be healed. Right. Well, you know what? In time, they started worshiping the snake. Right. Instead of God. They begin to worship an image instead of the Creator. The Lord said, what kind of image could you make of me? God is a spirit. And He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You can't make an image of God. Everything that man can make is simply a part of God's creation. Every idol that has ever been made is just a replication of what God has already made. And so if we're worshiping something that is created, then that's a low worship when we should be worshiping the Creator. And so we rob the Creator of His worship and we worship something created. Now I know In North America, it's not popular to have gods in your house. But some people's house is their god. And some people's spouse or somebody else's spouse is their God. And some people's automobile is their God. And for some people, it's football. Oh, I'm going to meddling now. And for somebody, it's golf. And for somebody, it's fishing. And for somebody, it's honey. Amen. Oh, I've heard it all. Oh, my church, I just love to get on the golf course and be with the Lord. I just love to get out on the water and just be with the Lord. I just love to get out in the woods, just me and Jesus. You know, let me just give you a preference. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. He said, as the custom of some is. He'd rather have you here with the family. Mm-hmm. Where his presence is manifest. Now, I'm not saying that I felt God outside. I've prayed on a golf course, felt the Holy Ghost. I've prayed in a boat, and I've really prayed in the boat a few times. I've prayed out in the woods. I've prayed in a cotton patch. I've prayed all over the place and felt God. But that was no substitute for being in the house in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Could I just tell you something today that you're needed here? Amen. Well, I'm not important. Oh, yeah, when you're not here, there's a part of the body that is missing. Now, you can get along without your little finger, but you'll sure miss it. That's right. You cut that little buddy off, and you'll be sorry that it's gone. So the body's like that. The Bible said the church is a body. And when you're not here, part of the body's missing. And we can function. We can go on. We're not totally dependent on you. But you do serve a function in the body, and you are important to us. And you're important to the work of God in Athens, Texas. Amen. So we can have other gods, and we can make different things God. Anything that replaces God and worship of God can become an idol to us. Work can be a god. And I think we've got the point, right? Let me go a little further. He talks about people that are not going to enter the kingdom of God, he says. He says adulterers. That is a male or female that is unfaithful to their partner. When you marry somebody, you make a vow before God. And you vow to be faithful to that person until death separates you. Amen. And that's a sacred vow made to God and before God. And so then to get involved with another person outside your marriage. And let me just meddle here just a minute. When you start having problems in your marriage, you be careful who you talk to about those problems. And you be especially careful. If on your job, you're a man, and there's a woman that's real sympathetic. Or if you're a female, and on your job, there's a male that's real sympathetic. Oh, and they just listen to me. My husband doesn't listen to me. My wife doesn't listen to me. But they listen to me. You're setting yourself up for a downfall. You be careful who you talk to. Amen. Praise God. And let me just tell you something. There's not any perfect people out there. Amen. I know people said, well, if I can just get out of this one, the next one will be better. Well, guess what? They got warts too. Their socks stink too. Amen. They miss the clothes basket now and then. Amen. They don't look as beautiful in the morning as they did when you took them on the first date. Amen. Praise God. So you see that there's adjustments. But it's about companionship. It's about a relationship. It's about a commitment. Everybody say commitment. I know it's a scary word. Some people are scared to death of that word. But all of life turns on that word. Commitment. Amen. So marriage is about commitment. Amen. And you're committed. I've heard people say, I don't know if it's the will of God for me to be married to him anymore. Well, it is. It is. It is. I'm telling you blatantly. It is. I don't know if it was before you got married, but it is now. I don't know. I don't know. Amen. But I'm just saying that outside of marriage, I don't care what the world says. I'm going by what the Bible says. This is what we're studying today is the Word of the Lord. I know that, you know, people say, well, times have changed. The Bible hasn't. And God hasn't. The Word still stands and it's still the same. Matter of fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So that's very plain, isn't it? Now, let me go a little further here. And he lists another. He says, effeminate. Effeminate is a sensualist. Someone that has given their lives to the pursuit of pleasure and luxury and soft living. Could I give another little definition here? A materialist. Somebody that can't get enough stuff. Stuff. I preach about stuff too much, don't I? But just can't get enough stuff. I tell you, stuff's not ever going to satisfy you. You can't build a house big enough to put it in. You can't build enough garages to put it in. Amen. Just if I can just have that, I know I'll be happy. No, you won't. Because happiness is not in stuff. As a matter of fact, if you're that in love with stuff, it's telling you, it's screaming at you that there's something desperately missing in your life.
That's
right. So someone that's effeminate is somebody that's a sensuous. They live for the senses. Amen. And they're epicurean. They want the best food. McDonald's is not good enough. Well, it's not all the time. Amen. You know, you get food and then you want better food. And then you get to where you have to have certain kinds of food. And it has to come from a certain shop. And then you get into the wine thing. And, you know, it can't just be, you know, the cheap stuff in the grocery store. It's got to be the good stuff. And if it's that way, only the best for me. Clothes. You know, it's got to be the right label from the right place. Amen, because that's all I wear. You see what I'm saying? Is that kind of making sense to anybody? You see, you can get caught up in that. And then he says, you get caught up in that, you won't make the kingdom of heaven. It'll sweep you away like a wave. And there's a lot of America caught up in that very thing. And let me just be a little more close to home. There's a lot of Christians caught up in that same scheme. Let's be real. Let's be genuine. Amen. Let's keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen. Let's get our priorities right in life. And then he goes on to say, abusers of themselves with mankind. We have another word in English, homosexual. Now, we are in a battle right now. And the battle is that it's merely an alternate lifestyle and I'm just born that way. No, you're not. This is very simple. Check your plumbing. That's who you are. That's who you are. Simple. Very simple. And that's it. Amen. There's a reason that two men cannot conceive a child. And there's a reason that two women cannot conceive a child. God created what? Adam and Eve. And help meet a counterpart for him. That's God's plan. It hasn't changed. It will not change. Now, homosexuality was a very rampant sin. 14 of the 15 Roman empires were homosexual. That's right. One of them had a husband to himself and a wife to himself that was male. Figure that one out. So, I'm just giving you a backdrop here today that if it wasn't okay in that environment, it's not okay in America in 2011. It hasn't changed. Amen. It's still sin. Now, should we hate people? No, 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 no. No, no, 1,000 times. Not ever. Not ever. Not ever. You don't hate people for being an alcoholic. You don't hate people for being a drug addict. You don't hate people for being a kleptomaniac. You don't hate people for being a liar. Don't hate them for being a homosexual. It's a sin. That's all it is. It's a sin. Just like adultery is a sin. Just like idolatry is a sin. Just like fornication is a sin. Just like the rest of the stuff we're going to talk about, and I know you want me to move on, is a sin. But I'm just trying to get it a little plain here today, folks, so that we get it in our head real well that these things are still sin, even though in North America we have people telling us, even from pulpits, that it's okay. That we have our government telling us that it's okay. It's not okay. Not for Christians. Hate the people. Hate the sin. If you hate the people, something's wrong with you. And the love of Christ is not in you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then, thieves. Well, that doesn't need a lot of explanation, does it? I found it very interesting. You know what the Greek word for thief is? Klepte. We have a word in our language, kleptomaniac. That's a person that can't help stealing. Amen. Him and can't help himself. Got to steal. Amen. And he said, thieves, they're not going to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Thieves. And then he says, he uses the word covetous. People that never get enough. They're grasping. They always want more. I love this illustration. I know I've used it before, but I like it. Do you know how they catch monkeys in certain countries? Like this story. The way they catch a monkey is they bury a jar deep in the sand, deep enough that he can get his hand in it, and they put peanuts in it. Monkeys that love peanuts. And the monkey comes along and he smells the peanuts and he sticks his hand down in that jar and he can get his hand in, but once he makes a fist, he can't get it out. And he won't let go. He wants the peanuts more than anything. So they just come along and just collect the monkey because he won't let go. He's got to have the peanuts. Amen. So that's covetousness. That's what it is. There are some people get a hold of stuff and they can't let go. Visa and MasterCard are maxed out, but they can't let go. They're fixing to take the house and the car, but you can't let go. Gotta have more. Now that didn't fit anybody, I'm sure. But it just needed saying. covetousness. Get a hold of stuff and just can't let go. Amen. There was a guy that, he was a yuppie, riding in his Mercedes, and he had an accident. I mean, smashed the side of it. He's sitting there. And when the policeman comes up to the door, he's shaking his head and said, "Oh, my Mercedes. Oh, my Mercedes." He's so concerned about his car. And the guy said, "Your car, nothing, man. Look at your arm. It's mangled." He looked down. His arm was smashed and mangled and broken and hanging and bloody. And he looked down and he said, "Oh, my Rolex, my Rolex, my Rolex." Now that's a materialist. he had it bad. Amen. But covetousness, it's something we have to guard against. And then, well, he talks about drunkards. Drunkards are uncontrolled. It's uncontrolled drinking. Uncontrolled drinking. And it's still wrong, folks. Uncontrolled drinking. We live in a world that is saturated with it. What do people talk about? TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. What does that mean? We don't have to work? No, it means we party. With Kool-Aid. And Dr. Pepper. That's what we had yesterday, wasn't it? And it was good. And all of us came in here, we left as sober as when we started. Nobody got a DUI on the way home. Amen. Everybody could walk straight. At least as straight as we could when we came. Amen. We were a happy bunch. Praise God. The Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Hey, there's something that'll make you feel better. There's a spirit that'll make you feel better than the spirits. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, drunkards, that's not the way to go. Then he mentions revilers. What in the world is a reviler? Well, that's somebody that beats other people up with words. It means to abuse and to attack with words, to curse. Have you ever known somebody, boy, they could evermore tear you down with their words? And that's all, they never had anything good to say about anybody. They say Lady Astor had a pillow on her couch, and it was embroidered, and it said these words, "If you can't say anything good about somebody, come and sit right next to me." She loved gossip. She loved gossip. Amen. Brother Hart, you know, you were talking about heaven and how you could just go anywhere you wanted to and be there. It won't matter because there's not going to be any gossips there. So you can eavesdrop on any conversation and it'll be okay because there's no gossip up there. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be great to go to a place there's no gossip? There's no revilers? There's nobody that attacks and abuses and assassinates people with their words? There's nobody that slices and dices people with their words. Amen. Well, I'm sure there's nobody like that here today. But nonetheless, just in case, it's in the list. And then he talks about extortioners. Harpax. That is to take something from somebody else by force. The word is also used when a ship comes along alongside another ship and they throw grappling hooks over there and they get a hold of the side of that ship and they pull it over to them and pull themselves over and then they board that ship so that they can take it over. That's an extortionist. They just overpower, overtake somebody because they want something that you have. They want your reputation. They want your purity. They want your righteousness. They want your good name. Amen. And they'll do everything to take everything that you've got. Extortioners. Amen. Now, that's before. That's ugly. Everybody say, that's ugly. Oh, that's ugly. Amen. If that was you before, that's ugly. If that's you right now, that's ugly. But God's got a cure for the uglies. I said, God's got a cure for the uglies. If you came in ugly, you don't have to leave ugly. Amen. That's before. I want to talk about after now. And I've got an hour's worth here for after. That only took 30 minutes. I know my time's gone. I'm sorry. Amen. But I wanted to just get it out there, okay? But after, now listen, I just love this. The way he words it, he says, and such were some of you. But that's past tense. That's what I used to be. Amen. You know what? I've had people say to me, they said, but you don't understand. You've never been like this. Yes, I was. I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be a liar. I know what it's like to be a thief. I know what it's like to be many of those things. Because I've been there. Amen. Thank God I was saved young. I was saved from a lot of things. But I was still a sinner. And everything it took to be that was in here. And in time, I would have fulfilled much of that. But thank God, Jesus Christ came. Hallelujah. And when He came, He brought with Him a power to transform my life. Listen, He said, such were some of you, but you're washed. Amen. That's baptism. Amen. How do you remit your sins? How do you wash away your sin? How do you get rid of sin? By baptism. We've been doing that around here, haven't we? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else ready? I'm ready. Amen. I like we're on a streak here. Let's don't break it now. Amen. But praise God, Brother Eddie, when you got baptized Sunday night, Brother Scott, whenever you went down in that water, but all of your sins were left under there. And when you came up, you were washed. Amen. And the devil went to God to accuse you. And he said, you remember what they did on so-and-so? And he said, let me check the book. He said, uh-uh. He said, it's not here. It's gone. The page is empty and blank. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Scott Graham at Men's Conference, he gave us a great illustration. He got a fella, and he went down, and he got this fella to stand up with Brother Wesley, and they were standing there. And he said, just imagine if up on that screen, everything that you've ever done was up there. Ooh, that's ugly. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? And everybody in here could see everything you've ever done. And then the people would be shaking their head going, oh, I didn't know Brother Weston was like that. Ooh, I didn't know he did that. I didn't know about that. Amen. You'd be losing friends as fast. You know what? But here's the good news. Jesus is also sinner. And he's saying, I didn't know about that. I don't remember that. I don't know about that. You see, because once you're lost, he don't remember either. But before you were washed, he remembered. But now, he doesn't remember. He's blotted it out. It's all forgotten. It's forgiven. It's under the blood. It's blotted out. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. He said, you're washed and you're sanctified. The word sanctify means that he sets you apart. He says, you're special. Woo! Amen. And somebody says, I just want to be like everybody else. Not me. He said, you're special. So he picks you up and he sets you apart. He sets you aside. He separates you. That's what holiness is. It simply means that God has set you aside because you're special. And some people try to make holiness ugly. They try to say, oh, that's just legalism. No, it's not. It's been separated because I'm special. There's things that I can't do because I'm special. I can't talk and say certain things because I'm special. Amen. I can't go certain places and dress a certain way because I'm special. I won't do it because I have been separated. I've been set apart. God has made me holy. I didn't do it. He did it for me. Praise God. So God sanctifies us. And then He justifies us. Amen. Praise God. That means we have legally been exonerated. Judgment has been rendered. And God says you're innocent and you're just. My. Praise God. That's after. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's nothing on the record anymore. We've been washed and sanctified. Justified. How? He said, by the name of the Lord. That's how it happens. Something as simple but as powerful as the name of Jesus can separate you. Amen. Names can make a difference. Titles can make a difference. I could go up to the White House today and I said, I want to come in here. I want to go right up to the living quarters here. What's your name? I'll have you to know my name is Johnny Daryl Grissom. Don't you forget it. And they'll say, who are you? Names make a difference. A couple of little girls could come skipping up. Give their names and they'd let them right in. Because they live there. They got the right name. I don't have the right name. Amen. But you know what? When it comes to the kingdom of heaven, I got the right name. I added something to my name. When I was born and too little to do anything about it, they named me Johnny Daryl Grissom. Whether I liked that, whether I didn't, I couldn't help it. But I added something to my name. My name now is Johnny Daryl Grissom Jesus. You see, when I was baptized, I added that Jesus to my name. And now, when I come to the throne of heaven, amen, I'm known before the throne because of that name. And the Lord listens. He said, that's one of my kids right there. Listen to him. Praise God. When the trumpet sounds, I'm going to get to go. When I get to the pearly gate, I'm get to go in. Hallelujah. Because I have the right name. Because I've been washed in the name of the Lord. And then he said, by the Spirit of our God. Amen. I'm going to close now. I'm going to quit. This is it. I'm finished. Let me take my coat off. Amen. My cousin had a pet pig. And he actually, I don't know how he talked his mom into it, but he actually got to keep that little pig in the house. But they kept him clean. I mean, they scrubbed him with a dial and whatever. I mean, he was squeaky clean. Had a little ribbon around his neck. Called him Fido. No, I don't know if they did that. I don't remember his name. But he was a clean pig. Very clean pig. They may have perfume on him for all I know. I don't know what they did. But he was a clean pig. But you know what happened when he got outside? That little pig would run for the deepest, stinkinest slot he could find. And he would dig his little nose down in that as deep as he could get it. And he'd sling mud and slop everywhere, ribbons and all. And he'd dive in nose first. He was in hog heaven. He didn't care about being clean because he's a pig. And that's what pigs do. Yeah, man, they like mud. They like to be dirty. They enjoy that because it's their nature. Now, I'm not calling anybody a pig. Please don't go there. But I am saying there was a time that I had a sin nature. And because I had a sin nature, I love sin. Somebody said, we're not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we're sinners. When you have a sin nature, you will sin. And you'll enjoy it because you don't know anything else. But you see, when God comes and washes you and puts His name upon you and puts His Holy Spirit in you, you have a new nature and you have a new spirit. Now, you can still sin after you receive the Holy Ghost, but you won't feel good about it. You can still lie and cheat. You can do everything you did before, but you won't feel good about it. There's going to be something different in your life. You're not going to enjoy it like you did before. There's going to be that aching and that void on the inside. He says, why are you doing this to me? Because you've been transformed. You have a new life. You're not the same that you used to be. If there's one proof to me that this is genuine, that's it. That before I could sin and enjoy sinning, but after I received the Holy Ghost, the same sin I could enjoy before doesn't feel the same anymore. Because I have enjoyed something so much better. Something that is pure. Something that is righteous and gloriously good. Let's stand together today before and after. Amen. Before and after. Such were some of you. Don't blame people that are unconverted for being sinners. That's what I was. That's what you were. Don't look down your nose at people. Judge them as being inferior, less than you. That's what I was. That's what you were. Amen. But rather, invite them to something better. Love them into the presence of God. Love them into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. If you're here today and you want to make some genuine changes, you want to be separated from sins, amen, there's an opportunity. You don't have to leave here the same that you came. If you're here today and you're like David, or like the psalmist, and your foot has slipped. Amen. There's restoration. There's mercy. There's grace. There's forgiveness. Amen. It's waiting for you here at this altar. Just come. Just as you are, just come. Give it all to Jesus. Open your heart so that He can give you all of Him. Amen. Praise God. Please come. Amen. Let's spend a little time, saints of God. Would you gather around the front of this auditorium? Amen. Just give God thanks.